Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everyone, welcome back into another live edition of the Patriots Beat Podcast here on the CLNS Media Network. I am Brian Hines, back with Alex Barth, as always, for again another live Pats Beat, sponsored by our wonderful friends over at Prize Picks and the Game Time app. It was a fantastic sports weekend this last few days. We had some awesome hockey action, NBA, the Derby, an F1 race. We had the Brady Roast, which we will get to earlier or later on in the show today. So, you can get involved in the action over on Prize Picks or go to the action with the Game Time app, both code CLNS, but we will hear from a little bit of them later on in the show because we have some Patriots news to talk about as well.
Oh, yeah.
Today, again, we'll get to the Brady Roast. That was an awesome show last night, so we'll talk about some of the highlights from that. But some news today from the New England Patriots, and with the draft in the rearview mirror, we are opening up kind of a front office search here, and this was expected. Robert Kraft mentioned it at the owners' meetings in March, I believe those were, that they're going to kind of, you know, look outside, maybe bring in another person to this front office to either run it or we'll see how this shakes out. So they have, sounds like they've reached out to some candidates and they'll be hosting some interviews. Now, if they want to promote Elliot Wolf to the GM and give him that GM title, they do have to, you know, have this outside search in the first place to, you know, you have to qualify the Rooney Rule and you have to do this process. So Elliot Wolf is certainly a candidate. I would be surprised if he's not the front runner candidate, right, but they are having this kind of open search here in the front office.
Yeah. So in Jonathan Jones from CBS, who broke this earlier today, pointed out that the Patriots can't, even if they just want to promote Elliot Wolf and be done with it, they can't because of the Rooney Rule, right? They got around it with Jerod Mayo, but there was something specific in his contract.
Yep.
It's a rare clause. It's not a surprise to find out that that's not in Elliot Wolf's contract. So as to why they didn't do it sooner, maybe they just wanted to get on with the roster building part of the offseason, didn't want to blow 2 weeks, you know, interviewing candidates. But if they want to, you know, elevate him, this is the step. I expect him to get the job. I would be very surprised and kind of annoyed if Ellie will, and maybe he doesn't end up GM. Like, it's probably going to be some other title because that's just how they do things. But we've talked about this, right? Final say. Who has final say? That's what's ultimately important. So VP of player personnel, director of football operations, whatever you want to call it. You just let him run an entire offseason that included rebuilding the offensive coaching staff, handing out some big contracts to guys like Mike Onwenu, Christian Barmore, and Kyle Duggar. I'm not saying those are bad contracts, but those are significant investments. And then deciding who do you, you know, which quarterback to take with the third overall pick. That's he set the foundation. He set the direction. So to then move on from him, who's to say the next GM likes Drake May? Who's to say the next GM wants to keep Mike Onwenu a tackle? Who's to say the next GM is going to continue with a plan that allows, you know, Kyle Duggar and Christian Barmore to play the way they've been playing? I feel like you have to stick with him. The thing I do wonder is maybe if, like you said, there's another addition to the front office on top of this. So scouting front office people, their contracts usually don't run through like the new league year, right? Yeah. Like player contracts do. They usually run through the beginning of May. It's usually right, draft to draft. So there are probably some people whose contracts were up who are going to be out. You know, I think Matt Groh's been speculated. His contract's been up, and you keep him around because he did all the scouting. He put all the work in to this class. You can't start from scratch when Elliott Wolf takes over in January. But I do wonder if maybe there's some lower changes. The other thing is, do we get, and Brian, this is something we've talked about, that if Elliott Wolf's going to be the GM, that director of football operations role, the team president kind of thing, the Cam Neely, Don Sweeney setup, and maybe they're interviewing people essentially for that job where Elliott Wolf's going to get the official promotion, but then there's going to be some directional head over Wolf and Mayo that has more experience doing this and is kind of like a veteran voice. So, yeah, there's a couple things that could come from this, but I'd be very surprised if Elliott Wolf doesn't end up the general manager equivalent.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, you said you put him in charge for all of this, and I think we could both agree. I think it was a good, even if this was a trial run, I think he kind of nailed it, right? Like you know, we liked a lot of their moves and what he did. So I would be comfortable, you know, keeping him in charge. I think the craft should be comfortable keeping him in charge based off what he's shown you he can do the last 2-3 months. And yeah, you know, they've never had that official GM title. So whether it's director of player personnel, or maybe like Scott Pioli was the vice president of player personnel, I think that was his role. So one of those that signals you're in charge. I think that's where this is probably headed, but that's still the big question. Is it going to be someone to come in to run this thing, or maybe a compliment for Elliott Wolf? And they did kind of already bring in Alonzo Highsmith, which you figured could be that compliment to Elliott Wolf, but maybe with, you know, Matt Groh, maybe he's out with his contract, seems set to expire here. Maybe they want just more pieces, or maybe they do want kind of that big ticket, that, you know, Cam Neely to the Don Sweeney, or the John Lynch to, you know, the Kyle Shanahan, you know, just another guy to kind of oversee this whole thing. So that's my big thing. Like, is it going to be a compliment to Wolf, or is it going to be one big guy? And I would lean, I think if they do hire someone, I think it's going to be just a compliment to Wolf, and he's still going to have final say, because he deserves it based off the last, you know, 3 months of work that he's done to this team with all the resources that they gave him.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
But let's say they do go maybe the opposite route. Is there any names you're looking at? Like, I know we talked a lot of these when Bill first left, and, you know, Adam Peters was a guy. He went to Washington. I'm blanking on the guy from the Chiefs. He was someone who might have showed some interest in the job even earlier. Trey Brown from Cincinnati. He works in the Bengals front office was another name. Like, any names that maybe if you are looking to come in and run this thing, that's kind of on your radar there for that personnel department?
I still go back to Mike Vrabel as that kind of head of football ops job, where he's been head coach. You know, he hasn't been a GM, but he's essentially had his own organization, that kind of thing. And just being a resource for Mayo and Wolf, I think, would be very valuable. That's the guy I keep going back to. Maybe it's a one-year thing. You know, he wants to get back into coaching. That works.
He's with Cleveland now.
Oh, is he? I forgot about that.
Yeah. He took, like, that same exact job just with Cleveland, which was unfortunate because that would have been great to have him here in that exact role. But
oh, yeah. Coaching and personnel consultant. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like everybody got hired. I feel like the cycle's done. I don't know. I'm not super familiar with everybody who's available. So
it was Mike Borgonzi. That was the Chiefs guy, but he's an assistant general manager with Kansas City. So, like, is he going to come here to be a whatever title you want to give him? And then is he going to expect to run this thing? Trey Brown, I think, had a, you know, the Cincinnati guy, I think he had a similar type of role there as well, their type of title in the Bengals. So, I mean, those guys are probably looking to come over and run their own team, right? Like, that's right, what you would assume. So you might have to find another kind of like Alonzo Highsmith, or maybe there's another Mike Vrabel type, you know, somewhere out there that's willing to kind of play a complementary role to Wolf and the staff that's there right now.
Yeah, and it's just at this point, this is why it's so weird to do this now. Again, maybe they did it just because they didn't want to have to go through it while they're trying to get set for the draft and all of that. But everybody's hired. Everybody has jobs. This is why it's so tough to do it right now, because I just don't think you're going to find that many people willing to pick up and move and reset at this point in the football calendar.
Yep. Yeah, which is just another kind of reason I'd be shocked if this isn't just still Elliot Wolf in with some new title to show that he has, you know, he's not director of scouting. This shows some title that he has,
right?
Kind of final say and control over this thing. But yeah, we will have an open front office search, it sounds like. So we'll be keeping you up to date with anything that happens with that. Again, though, we would expect it to be Elliot Wolf in some new title there as well. But we also had a roster move this morning on the roster. Our quarterback room that was 5 is now down to 4 as they waive Nathan Rourke. I think we all thought there would be some movement at some point there. I mean, 5, that would be a lot of quarterbacks to enter even training camp in with, you know, giving them all reps, especially when you have 2 rookies and Drake May and Joe Milton. You're going to want to get as much action there as possible. So for now, Nathan Rourke is the first one out, and the room is down to 4 with those previous 3 and Bailey Zappe.
Yeah, not surprising. You know, he was clearly the 5th man in that group. 4 for camp's about right. Could Rourke find his way back if he doesn't get signed and be on the practice squad? I could see that, but I think he's probably, if another NFL team doesn't pick him up, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to Canada, because he freaking dominated there. And that may be better for him at this point than spending a full season on a team's practice squad, not really playing in games. So, yeah, not a total surprise. And now I think the question becomes Zappe versus Joe Milton for the 3rd quarterback spot. That's going to be the battle throughout the spring, throughout the summer. I don't think they're going to move on. If Zappe is the odd man out, I don't think they're going to move on from him until they have to, because, you know, you cut him and then in camp, somebody's backup quarterback gets hurt. Suddenly there's a market. So there's no rush to get Zappe off the roster if he's the odd man out, but I don't know. I think new group, they targeted Milton. I still think Zappy's the odd man out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you there. But Mike Reese, I just pulled it up in his notes. He did say he had a little note on Sunday about Zappe. And he said his starting experience has value behind Brissett if May ultimately needs more time to develop behind the scenes. But could his presence somehow impede May's space to develop important bonds and grow with new teammates? So could that be something that you're looking at? Like, we know Zappe has some connections with these guys. He's obviously played with them. And then we saw him down in Texas, I believe, you know, working out with Kendrick Bourne, DeMario Douglas, Tyquan Thornton. Is that something where you could say, like, we just might need to get him out as quick as possible, even though it might be beneficial for your resources draft-wise, if you maybe keep him in camp and you get a pick, or maybe you do need him to start at some point early in the year, which obviously wouldn't be ideal, but could that be something that you look at and say, okay, we need to kind of just get him out of here from a locker room perspective?
Yeah, that's fair. I'd hope it doesn't come to that. Like,
yeah,
they just drafted a guy 3rd overall. I mean, come on. Zappy's got to know the writing's on the wall, but yeah, if he's going to be an issue, I mean, we've talked about this. Don't make things harder on the quarterback than they need to be. If he's going to be an issue, then yeah, you get rid of him.
Yeah. And you hope the teammates and the receivers kind of can see that as well, right?
Right. Like,
we don't need to be hanging on to our, you know, Bailey Zappe right now, where we have Drake May, who, you know, Drake May too seems like an easy guy to get along with and everyone.
Yes.
I'm sure that'll be just fine for him, you know, establishing connections and developing relationships with all those guys. So, front office news, Nathan Rourke out. I believe that was all the news from our last show, correct? Or was there anything else?
We been on since they signed Joey Sly? I think we were.
Yes, we talked about that Thursday, I believe, because it was Sly and the pass rusher from the Giants they signed.
Yeah.
And that got the roster to 90. So now Rourke is out, rostered back to 89. So they have another spot here if they want to add someone before OTAs. I saw someone ask in the chat, rookie minicamp is this weekend, May yep. 10th to the 12th. We will actually get one day of access on Saturday, I believe. That's May 11th. Who knows what it's going to look like. I was listening. I saw a clip from the Kelsey's podcast, and they were talking about rookie minicamp. They're like, it's not even football, it's just pure chaos out there. So we've never seen it. We'll
love
see
that.
We'll see what it looks like out there. But yeah, rookie minicamp. Here it was. When does rookie minicamp start? That is May 10th to 12th. So the rookies will be back on the fields this weekend. We'll have coverage of anything that happens back there. But I don't know. You have any big expectations for that this weekend?
Just watching Drake May and Joe Milton throw it deep. As long as you get a couple deep balls from both those guys, I'm good.
Let's just see a laser show out there, and that's
Oh, right. And the defensive tackle that's a punter.
True. That'll be fun.
See that guy.
Can he hold? Is he going to be holding for the kickers? There's two kickers coming.
It's definitely something to watch.
That would be – that's exciting. Yeah. And there's a really skinny, like, offensive tackle too, right?
Oh, Zuri Henry?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not really skinny. He's like 300 pounds. But he played last year at, like, 290. And then I think he was 306 at his pro day. So, like, he's put on the weight since.
Yeah. But
seeing how he's a true swing tackle. So those guys are valuable. Maybe he has a chance to make the team. The weight thing is worth noting because we'll see how he plays at that new weight. But that's not as fun as a defensive tackle that punts. Joe Milton throwing it 85 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, we'll see what happens out there. We don't know. Probably is going to be pure chaos, but yeah, the big news over again, and what was actually all today, was that front office search and Nathan Rourke is on the out, so QB room back to four. But let's take a very quick break. We will hear from our friends over at Prize Picks, and then we can talk a little bit about that Tom Brady roast on Netflix from yesterday.
Celtics are advancing, and if you want to go to a game, TD Garden, we are back. We're hosting round two. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer you get to kickoff. I'm getting ahead of myself here. They have flash deals, zone deals, last minute deals. Save up to 60% off buy-in last minute for sports. You can also use concerts, comedy, theater. I love, if you're in Boston, you can go get a slice at halftime or go to the Harp for a drink, and then right before tip off, you can log on Game Time, get your tickets, get a really good deal, go see the Celtics in the playoffs there. So take all the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. Game Time.
Longest throw at rookie minicamp, quickly. If we set the Prize Picks entry at, assuming they don't just like get out there and have an arm talent contest, we'll set it
but
at.
But that's the thing. I'm not, you say it's going to be chaos. Like, I'm not ruling that out.
They might just do that. So 62 and a half, more or less, yards.
So I'll give you this. It's supposed to rain on Saturday, which is the day we'll be there.
Of course.
Naturally. I wonder if they practice inside. If they do, does somebody hit the roof?
Someone hit the top of the bubble.
Remember, Joe Milton for his pro day went outside because he thought he was going to hit the roof. And Drake May was inside at his, but boy, did he come close a few times.
Yeah. That would be fun. If Joe Milton hit the top of the bubble with you watching in attendance.
It's not just me at that point. It's
it would be everyone. We would all be oohing and aahing at that.
To be clear, the whole Joe Milton thing leading up to the draft was because everybody knows this. My approach to draft coverage is the more players you know, the better. So I'm going to try to get people as filled in on as many players as possible. But there's some players that I think are more interesting than others that I want to make sure people know about. Joe Milton was a guy that I was like, hey, you guys should go watch him. Whether or not the Patriots draft him, it's fun tape. It's interesting tape. Now he's here. So mission accomplished. Everybody now knows who Joe Milton is. That was the point. Mission achieved. Yeah. And with a little assist for me from Elliot Wolf. Because you guys don't have a choice now. Everybody's, Joe Milton. Why is he going on about Joe Milton? That's why.
Now we're here. We're here. And we're all going to watch him in the preseason. And hopefully it's fun, at least, if anything. It might not be good, but at least it'll be fun. But yeah. That should be fun. Hopefully we get to see something crazy there on Saturday between him and Drake May at rookie minicamp. But let's talk about an old Patriots quarterback. Tom Brady took the stage last night for a roast live on Netflix. I wasn't sure what to expect, but it was kind of a good old-fashioned roast. I mean, we had Giselle Jiu-Jitsu.
Not kind of, it was.
within like 2 minutes from Kevin Hart. We had Aaron Hernandez jokes, 9/11 jokes. Gronk got called stupid about 1,000 different ways. Like, it was a good old fashioned roast. So it was very good television for Patriots fans. And I'd assume even non-Patriots fans would have enjoyed that a lot last night.
I was expecting it to be very corporate, very close to the vest. I thought the one person I thought might let it rip was Drew Bledsoe. Because all these guys, they have their podcasts and they have their TV gigs and they don't want to get in trouble. Whereas Bledsoe's just slinging wine. Like, that was real for me. He didn't, a lot of them had people help them write their stuff. I don't think Bledsoe had any help. That was from deep down from him. Yeah. But I used to love the roast when I was in like middle school and high school. Every year that was appointment viewing. Like, I'd have a couple friends over, you know, we'd get together. Even if I didn't know who the person was, usually it was like, I was aware of David Hasselhoff. I didn't know really anything about him. They're roasting him. I read his Wikipedia page. All right, now I'm caught up, and 95% of the jokes I got, right? So I used to love the roasts, and that was an A-plus roast. I mean, Brady aside, obviously that adds another level to it, but they brought it. They freaking brought it. I don't know, outside of Kim Kardashian, I don't know that there was one person who bombed. Like, I know some people didn't love Affleck. I thought he did what he needed to do. Like, he played his part, right? I know some people didn't love Brett Kircher and Tom Segura. You have to be familiar with who they are as comedians, I think, to understand that. I thought that was great. I didn't want it to end. I saw people complaining it was too long, and I was like, no. Like, keep going. Keep freaking going. And I mean, the highlight for me, well, there's so many highlights. I don't want to pick one, but like, Anchorman is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, me in high school, I was obsessed with Anchorman. And the Patriots, that was like my friend texted me last night. He was like, this is your whole personality when you were 17, Ron playing Burgundy out on the stage,
introducing Bill Belichick,
Ron Burgundy roasting Tom Brady. And then, because we used to get together, watch the roast too. That was the thing. And I would try to like roast people. Ron Burgundy roasting Tom Brady and then introducing Bill Belichick is like as on brand as you could get for junior year of high school, Alex Barth. I would have passed out back in the day. It was still great. It was still unbelievable. So that was awesome. Peyton was really good. I thought he rose the occasion. I'm glad he was there. But it's really all about, you know, the Patriot side of it. Bill, Brady, Bledsoe, Edelman, Gronk. Randy Moss was okay. That's just not his personality. He's not that out there. I wish they'd let Matt Light go. He's hilarious.
I love Bill getting up there, and everyone was just talking like the Pats in the front row because it's Edelman, it's Gronk, it's Tom, obviously. And then Bill gets up there and he goes like for 5 minutes on how Matt Light needs to shut the F up. And he's just roasting his offensive lineman. And then you knew he was just chomping at the bit to get to Danny Amendola after what Danny said to him in the Dynasty doc. And Bill's shot at the Dynasty doc was awesome too. But
so why did that feel like a more comprehensive view of the Patriots Dynasty era than the Dynasty did?
Than the Dynasty documentary.
Like, I walked away from that feeling the way I wanted. And I knew the Dynasty wasn't going to make me feel that way. I knew it wasn't. But that's how I wanted it to make me feel. That I wanted that Last Dance feeling. And I walked away from that. Like, there was some weird sort of closure.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to figure out, you know, like 24 hours later, why I felt like there was some, I think it was Brady, Bill, Robert, Edelman, Gronk, all being back together, generally having a good time. I know Bill was a little cold for the toast, but the other thing about it too, that was Patriots Tom Brady. All the highlights were Patriots. There was a separate Patriots dais. I know that Levante David and Ryan Jensen were up there, but they were off to the side with the comedians in the back. They didn't say anything.
They weren't mentioned once or like brought up at all. Like,
even when Brady had a chance to say, you know, oh, you know, now that Bill's ticked me off, my favorite ring is the Bucks ring.
That's where I thought he was going with that one.
That's what we all thought he was going to say, which is what made that joke so good. But that was whether it was intentional or not, that was a letter to Patriots fans. That was for Patriots fans, not just, you know, sure, the Brady fans who followed him to Tampa and, you know, got the jerseys and had the Buccaneer stickers on their car and all that. I'm sure they enjoyed it too. But no, that was for the Patriots fans. And I really, really appreciate on so many levels. There was like nerd Patriot references. The Nate Ebner joke was amazing. 20% of the people watching maybe got that. But the people who did, we really appreciated that. Like, that was really for the Patriots fans. And that was, that's probably overall my favorite part.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome. Like, the comedians were good. Even like, I was expecting maybe some of the athletes just to bomb, and even their like deliveries, and they were pretty good. Like, Jules was awesome taking the shot. Like, the
Edelman was great. Edelman was great.
Finally getting back at Bill with the Foxborough High. Like, that's your only coaching job. Gronk was just so Gronk, just like, like, his own material was exactly what you would expect it to be.
It was just dick jokes. He just went up there and made dick. Somebody, I think it was Matt Miller last night, like, Gronk making dick jokes is like watching Monet paint with watercolors. Like, an artist just, in his truest form.
He just made dick jokes and called everyone in the front row gay for each other, pretty much.
And yeah, it was so perfect. And then he spiked a shot glass and hurt somebody in the front row.
Just so perfectly Gronk. So that was great watching all of them go at it.
Yeah, this is what Gronk said. The jokes weren't that funny. He was just so into it.
Yeah.
That it was,
and then, like, he has, like, everyone makes fun of him, and then the flash to him, he's like,
yeah,
I don't know what's going on, but I'm just gonna laugh right now.
Like, well, the part where Nikki Glaser was like, yeah, Gronk on the crypto, me know that, not real money. And then I guess he turned to Kevin Hart and was like, yeah, I said that.
It's did. No. Yeah, that was, and Kevin Hart was great host too. Like,
Hart was good. Yeah. The bit about when Brady was like, I was begging them to get Chappelle to host this though.
Yeah.
That was a good, that you could tell that hit. That caught Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Kevin Hart telling Gronk to sound out the teleprompter.
that was great. That was great.
It was 3 hours, but it was a very good 3 hours. I don't know any other.
I could have gotten another 3 hours. Shout out. So I didn't realize that they were like actually selling like the audience part of the forum. Like, you could just get tickets. There were people I know who went last night, just like had tickets. And when Ron Burgundy tried to do the, you know, Tom Brady's Eli Manning's bitch, and all the Patriots fans there just booed him out. Shout out to the fans that were, the Patriots fans represented well last night. I thought everybody represented well. It was, again, it was just, I feel like I haven't seen anything like that on TV in a long, long time. The fact it was about Tom Brady added another level, but like, just good television, man. They got to bring the roast back. I know nobody wants to do it. The last one was in 2019. It was Alec Baldwin. That one was kind of meh. The last really good one I remember was James Franco in 2016. Andy Samberg did this hilarious set where he went up there. I don't know if you've ever seen a clip of this. Look it up. And he just told the worst. The timing was bad. The delivery was bad. The inflection. It was all terrible, and he does it with a massive smile on his face, and it's just it's really freaking funny. But I hope they bring it back. I don't know who
hopefully this brings it back, right? Like, hopefully they were filter at all, so hopefully this is
right,
like,
okay, if this brings it back, put another niche on Tom Brady's resume there.
They gave him a ring at the end, so there's his eighth, or I guess ninth ring, because Giselle gave one back. They were all saying, but
no, but like, if that brings back the roast, if that brings back comedy, give Tom Brady credit.
Yep. Anyone?
You know, it doesn't need to be an athlete. I don't know how many athletes have been roasted. Brady might be, if he's not the first, he's one of the first.
Yeah.
I don't,
like, surprised you weren't there teammate wise, or that you would have maybe liked to see.
I do. Goodell was never going to be there, but that would have been funny.
That would have been funny.
He was never, ever going to, he wouldn't go near that.
Yeah. Also, let's like relax. Like it was a joke. He didn't. Brady.
Yeah, he's saying for $20 million he would have saved them the trouble and just said he did it. Which, yeah, I admitted to for $20 million. He didn't admit. Calm down with that.
I think like even Schefter tweeted it. Like we have closure. I don't know if he said we have.
Yeah,
on the Deflategate. Schefter just tweeted it. Like the quote, I think. But yeah, it was a joke. Let's not go with that one. But
yeah, I'm looking here. No athletes have been roasted. But maybe you know, there's a president on that list. Maybe Tom runs for president now.
Yeah, I don't know any other.
I don't know how many other athletes. Like that's a real niche thing. You got to be a big. A Michael Jordan roast would actually probably be really good, because you'd have Rodman. You'd probably have Chuck, would be, and yep. You know he'd be great. Not only would he be great, the jokes at him would be great. I'm sure Shaq would. You basically get inside the NBA. At a roast. And then you'd also have like Rodman, all the Larsa Pippen stuff, the gambling stuff. Like that would be, who was the guy he took first overall? It was like his first ever pick as the GM. And he was like, this guy's going to be the next superstar. And then he was horrible. You know who I'm talking about? Was it Kwame Brown? I think it was.
Did Jordan pick him?
Maybe. Yeah. He was the team president. Yeah. It was when he was the president player.
Wow.
If you want to see something really funny, look up Kwame Brown cake incident, by the way. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but
I have not, but okay.
Yeah. They should bring back the roast.
Yep. Yeah. It was awesome. But, any other jokes you loved that we didn't hit on? I mean,
there were Brady was great. Brady was great.
Yeah, he ended it strong.
Yeah, going after the fan bases specifically was good. His Bledsoe joke was great. You know what was really good? I think it was Nikki Glaser. Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady could run.
Yeah.
It's like a great turn. Words.
Yeah.
She was
very good.
She's great. She was great. She's always good at those. Jeff Ross coming out as roast Jay Simpson was good.
I forget the comedian's name, who they said like has the famous podcast, and he got up out of the crowd and he went for
I'd never heard of that guy. He was good.
And he said one line about like everyone and just went right down the line, and it was like he was hilarious.
I'd never heard of him, but yeah, he was really good. He had a really good line about Kreischer.
Yeah.
Something about his liver or something. I don't remember, but
liver cane and Tiger King and something, and it looks like it was beat up by Martin Luther King.
Oh yeah, we'd be remiss. Boston's own Sam Jay,
yeah,
was excellent.
I was surprised we didn't see like Bill Burr or someone.
Oh, that's who was missing that I would have wanted to see. That's who it was.
Like a Patriot fan comedian.
Well, I think that was Affleck. I think Affleck was there to do that part, but Bill Burr would have been. Bill Burr should have been there. That's the one that I think they missed.
Yeah. Yeah, Brady, he did piss off some Chiefs fans. I saw a lot of tweets getting – they're all posting – because what was the joke? Like they're the loudest stadium now that they have all the 14-year-old Taylor Swift fans rooting for them. And I saw someone on Twitter posted the screenshot like, oh, this was the day or the game that we set the record, and it was when they – blew out the Pats in 2014, like the beatdown in Arrowhead. Little do they know what happened like 2 months later that year. But the Chiefs fans, that definitely struck a nerve there with them.
Oh, there's some good Taylor Swift jokes in there too. Nikki Glaser had a good one. Like, oh, I just started watching football last year because Taylor Swift said it was okay. That was a good one.
Someone said Burr had a show the night before in the chat, so that might have been why he wasn't there. But yeah,
it was in the crowd. And I would have liked to hear him. I would have liked to hear him. Although we've heard him talk about Brady and the Patriots plenty, so
he probably had too much respect to get up there and trash on Tom Brady for 10 minutes anyway. But
yeah,
definitely worth the watch. I know it is 3 hours, but it is worth it for Patriots fans, obviously, and I would say even non-Patriots fans. As well, but any last thoughts on that? I think we hit on most of
that. I'm probably going to go watch it again before the Bruins game. Just unbelievable piece of television.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Robert Kraft going to Putin.
Yeah, true.
Great. Oh, no, I know what it was. One of the best jokes was Robert Kraft's Jimmy Garoppolo joke.
Yes.
When he goes, good luck buying the Raiders. They already did your favorite thing. Got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy just massive stray. I'm bummed he didn't catch more, honestly. I should have Martellus Bennett up there.
Mac Jones caught a stray, too.
Jones caught a bad.
He left Bill with Mac Jones.
We could do this for an hour. We really
there were. Antonio Cromartie caught a random stray.
Early, yeah. Oh, who was it? Somebody said Dana White is like Mike Vick. What was it?
Oh, it was the divorce. Like, you rip off a Brazilian.
No. Somebody said, was talking about Dana White in UFC. And said, first off, they said for Jeff Ross thought it was unlimited fried chicken, which was very funny. But then somebody said that Dana White is like Mike Vick for people. Do you remember that one?
I remember that one. I remember when they were
something like
about,
that. I'm butchering it.
I remember when they were talking about Tom's divorce and they said, like, you're going to rip off a Brazilian like Dana White.
Or something like that.
But I don't remember the Mike Vick or dog one. But yeah, definitely go watch that again. It's on Netflix, The Greatest Roast of All Time, Tom Brady. Definitely worth the time for all Pats fans. But you mentioned the Bruins very quickly. Big week for Boston sports. There's games every other night. So if you want to get in on the action, go watch the action live in TD Garden. Head over to the Game Time app. Makes all getting all your playoff tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off or puck drop. They have zone deals, flash deals, last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last minutes for all your sports games. You can even go to concerts, comedy, if there's more roasts in the future, theater. And it's always the best price. Even if you find tickets elsewhere in the same section or row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. And you can also buy tickets after the game starts. So if you're at the Greatest Bar, you're having some drinks and you want to run across the street and go into the game, and prices might drop on the Game Time app. So make sure you download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CLNS for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. So the Bruins, big game seven.
Yeah,
win.
Give me some Bruins takes, Brian. Boston Sports Minute here.
I am believing in them to beat the Florida Panthers, and I'm also an idiot for believing that. The Panthers are the better team. Well, quickly, I'll say game seven was awesome. Not for my heart rate, but it was awesome. You needed your best players to finally step up. And that's what he did. Obviously, Swayman was amazing again, but like Hampus Lindholm, welcome to the playoffs. Like, his best playoff game, maybe his best game as a Bruin since, you know, getting here. Obviously, the goal and then the beautiful pass in overtime and Pasta finishing that off. So that was, you know, awesome. Just Leafs are going to leaf, just perfect. Hopefully, this is kind of like a monkey off their back now. Like, they didn't choke, they won a round, they can move on. And they're underdogs now against Florida. So I have my hopes up, which is probably stupid. But I think they can kind of make some noise here. They're going to need more from, you know, Coyle, Zacha, those centers. Charlie McAvoy had a tough end of the series. You're going to need more from him. But if you get that level of goaltending play, if maybe this kind of kickstarts, you know, Pasta and Marchand can kind of revert back to what he did early in that series, I think they can at least make this a series. I don't think this is going to be a sweep. I don't think this is going to be five. I think they can bring this to six or seven games and maybe win this one.
Am I crazy in saying that I think Ullmark should start tonight?
No. I think it's going to be Swayman, but this is what, five starts in 12 days now?
Yeah, five. So this would be a sixth start in 14 days after alternating games going all the way back to February. Also, if you look at the splits, Swayman was much better against Toronto, like significantly better against Toronto than Ullmark was. This is flipped. Ullmark was 3-0 against the Panthers this year, and Swayman struggled. He had three goals in his lone start against them. I think you start Ullmark tonight. give Swayman the rest. Worst case scenario, you go back to Swayman in game two and you still have a chance to steal home ice. I know it's not popular. Yes, you got to start the hot goalie. This team's got to think outside the box because they are the underdog. They got to punch above their weight. I would start Ullmark tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to start Swayman. I think that's what the morning skate seemed to indicate. And, like, you can't blame them for riding the hot hand. He was just so good. And it's like, you know, they're still in this rhythm, right? Like, it feels like game seven just ended and we got to play again. So they're still in this rhythm. But you got to split in Florida. And if you lose this game, then, like, you're putting Ullmark in, and he hasn't played in almost 2 weeks. So that's a tough situation for him to go in. But if you go Ullmark tonight, maybe he steals one. You know, Florida hasn't played for a week. Maybe they're a little rusty, and he's been good against Florida. And then you have Jeremy Swayman. You get him an extra, you know, 2-3 days of rest, and you can go to him in game two. So I'd expect it to be Swayman, but I wouldn't, you know, hate on him for going Ullmark. And hopefully Brandon Carlo also got a private jet down there today. He gave, you know, they welcomed a child in this morning. Congrats to him. But hopefully they got him down there. We'll see about that. But I think they can at least make this a series. But obviously Florida is the better team. And I mean, Bobrovsky was just as locked in as Swayman was in their first round series. So it's definitely about uphill battle against that Panthers team.
Definitely.
Celtics takes for you. You got the Cavs.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about it. Celtics should win in five. It's just stay healthy. Don't make this too tough that you got to rush Kristaps Porzingis back. It's a one man show. It's all Donovan Mitchell. And he was limping badly the last two games of that series. This should be light work for the Celtics. I'll actually be at the Garden tomorrow night, Thursday night, with coverage for 98.5 The Sports Hub. My annual little post-draft tradition, as it's become now, is hopping on the Celtics beat starting in the second round of the playoffs.
Feels like all the Pats guys are hopping over to the Celtics beats for the playoffs.
We do.
We got a ton of them. But
maybe maybe Pat's Pulpit wants to mix in some Celtics coverage.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe we can work that in. I'd rather. We'll talk Bruins. We got all the guys on the Celtics. I'll go handle the Bruins work for everyone. But it's going to be an awesome week again. Bruins Celtics alternating every night, and then rookie mini camp over the weekend. And then the Red Sox will be playing as well. Whenever you need something else to watch, but that'll do it from us today. We will be back sometime later this week, probably Thursday. But you can subscribe to the channel, turn on your notifications so you do know when we go live. You can also follow us on Twitter at I am Brian Hines, at Real Alex Barth, and at Patriots CLNS as well. We will let you know when our schedule is looking like as well. And you can head over to 985thesportshub.com also to read Alex's written work on the Patriots and the Celtics that will be coming over the next few days in the playoffs. And you can head over to patspulpit.com to read our written work of the Patriots as well. So thank you everyone for hopping in and listening to us tonight. Go Bruins, and we will see you guys later.